This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil? The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. As usual, with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz.
Good morning, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. Joining us today, our golf, we haven't had you for a while, Sean. We've missed you. But you and I have been chatting from time to time. Of course, we're talking about Sean Clement. Sean is, of course, one of Canada's great golf teachers, one of the world's great internet golf teachers. You can find him at wisdomingolf.com. You can find him on YouTube under Clemshaw, I believe, and also at the Richmond Hill Golf Learning Center. And certainly going to be talking golf because golf was in the news this week.
No kidding.
for one reason and one reason only, the return of the Tiger. We're certainly going to be chatting about that at the lower end of the hour. In the middle of the hour, there's a huge, huge, huge soccer game event coming up in Toronto this coming Saturday. TFC in a replay. Let's not call it a replay, but a rematch. Hopefully not a replay. But a rematch of last year's game. They're, of course, going up against the Seattle Sounders. And we're about 6 days away from that game, and the buzz is really starting on that one already. We want to certainly chat about that. We'll be talking to Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Carmine Marcantonio. So we'll be chatting TFC at the middle of the show. We want to have a little recap of the week, Naz. Let's go back. We had a great show last Sunday. It was certainly a thrill to have Peter Martin in studio. And Peter Martin, I almost got the sense he was getting a little emotional when we were talking about the 1971 game. But the Argos pulled it out. They're Grey Cup champions, and what a phenomenal football game, Naz.
It was a great football game. Two touchdowns over 100 yards. One on a fumble return to tie the game, and the other one on a pass reception. Great game. Absolutely terrific game.
Yeah, and we talked about last week, we talked to Joe Theismann, talked to Andrew Scheer, not about the 71 team, but about the CFL in general. But we talked to Theismann, we talked to Peter Martin about the 1971 team, and that team, there's still a certain regret. You almost got a regret that they lost that game on that Leon McCoy fumble, and they, and of course, the Harry Aboff's kicking the ball out of bounds on the punt, which people sort of don't talk about. But here's the ultimate irony, 46 years later, Toronto, Calgary, and the most important play in the game is a fumble. And it's near the end of the game.
It goes all the way for a TD.
We lost. Toronto Argos lost. 71 still left a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths. And 46 years later, take a look at the symbolism. 71, 17. Just reverse the numerals and reverse the fumbles. And reverse the results.
That was a much bigger fumble, though, the Calgary one, for sure. Leon's doesn't compare to that one. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, certainly, except, the game, that fumble absolutely turned, that fumble doesn't happen, the Argos don't win the game.
Sure.
Let's be honest. Calgary's down there, and one of the Calgary players, I can't remember his name, threw the player that fumbled under the bus by heavily criticizing him after the game. In that situation, you just hang on to the ball. But that's sports, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting that Larry Tannenbaum received the trophy, and he could receive the FC one. And
He would receive the Leafs one, too,
and the Raptors. So you never know.
Yeah, he could be a part of a lot of – he could be a part of a lot
we
of
hope
history.
Larry Tannenbaum's involved
go,
in every
Larry,
presentation.
Go, Larry, go. So, you know, I mean, when they receive the Stanley Cup, it, you know, I mean – is it the owner that takes the Stanley Cup or the general manager? I'm trying to think of that.
Usually it's
Mike Ilitch was always on the ice with Detroit.
But I think Tannenbaum is the guy.
He's the representative of the ownership group, no question. And let's send him some lucky charms.
That's for sure.
Go, Larry, go. Just wanted to wrap up our Toronto Argo discussion and it was a thrill of a game. It was a thrilling ending. It's what the CFL is all about. You know, do I feel sorry for Calgary fans? You know, 2 years in a row, they literally did have the best team in the league. Absolutely not. I don't shed any tears for them whatsoever. Just retribution for something you stole from us 46 years ago. And that's the CFL. Last year was the Ottawa Red Blacks. And the best team doesn't always necessarily win. And the important, the question on a go-forward basis for the Toronto Argonauts is how much of this can they take forward into the next season? How much of this can they use to increase their fan base, their attendance wasn't very good this year, to be quite frank. But is this going to carry over? And, you know, that's what you'd like to see because – you know, and Naz, I know you've talked to a lot of people. A lot of people watch the Grey Cup.
The TV numbers were 5.9 million for that game. 5.9 million.
A lot
million.
Of people watched the Grey Cup that didn't watch the Argos during the regular season. And they did watch the Grey Cup. They saw a fantastic game. They saw some Argo talent, saw some personality out there. Hopefully that translates into some increased attendance figures for the Toronto Argonauts next year.
I think they'll have more people watching next year, for sure.
You a football fan, Sean?
Yeah, used to be.
Who's your team in the old days?
Are you talking about
CFL?
CFL?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm from Montreal. So,
so you're an Alouette guy.
Yeah.
We won't hold that against you, Sean. Anyways. It was a big day in U.S. college football. And Naz is, I usually...
We're praying Alabama gets in, but I think they will.
We're on the radio. We're also live streaming on www.zoomerradio.ca. And Naz, he's wearing his Alabama cap this morning, Naz. And
Roll Tide.
I believe they announced the, of course, in college football in the States now, they've gone, it's been a few years now, but in the recent past, they've gone to the college football playoff system. They just, in the old days, they used to use the ratings guys, whoever the number one and the number two teams played, they'd play in the national championship. Sometimes in the old days, didn't even work that way. I mean, you just, certain teams went to certain bowls and that was it, and they'd come in and they'd rate the teams and you'd have a controversy. And they decided they were going to create the college football playoff. And now the college football playoff has created its own level of controversy, of course. But let's analyze where this thing is at. There's three teams that appear to be locks to get into the into the Final Four, as they call it. Clemson, clear cut, number one. Oklahoma, clear cut number two, Georgia.
Where was Georgia ranked before the game? Six?
That's a good question.
I'm not so sure Georgia is a lock.
I'm pretty sure. My guess is they are the SEC champions.
I don't think they're a lock.
You might be right, Naz. They might not be a lock, but I would be surprised if they don't make it through because there's going to be here's the dilemma for the voters. How do you not put the SEC champion in? Georgia laid a they pretty well manhandled Auburn yesterday. Although they lost significantly to Auburn earlier in the year. But they had in the SEC championship game, I think it was in Atlanta. Was it the Mercedes-Benz Stadium there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been there, right, Ness?
No, not Atlanta.
Not okay.
The Alabama, yes.
Yeah. So they win the SEC, which is the toughest conference in the entire nation. I mean let's be frank. More good teams playing the SEC than anywhere else in the U.S. They win that game. Alabama lost significantly, to Auburn a couple of weeks back. So how do you jump? How do you jump Alabama in there over Georgia? That's a tough stretch. Yeah, with all due respect for Alabama,
here's the thing though: they were ranked sixth, yeah. Georgia, and Alabama was ranked fifth.
Yeah.
So if it goes up by the
and
numbers,
but it never does because a conference. Where was Auburn going into the game? Two.
Auburn was two.
Yeah. And Georgia handled Auburn. But these are all the discussions. They sit around the table and they figure it out. So I'm going to think that Georgia is going to make it through, and then it's a battle between Ohio State and Alabama. I've read a couple of overnight reports where there's a case. They can make a case for either team. Personally, I think Alabama, in a one-game shot against any team in the country, I think they'd be a favorite. I think
they'd
you
be
put
a favorite.
They'd be the betting favorite against anybody.
So what you're saying is that Alabama is the best team, and how can you not have Alabama in the final
four? I don't disagree. It's just the way that the games are played. It depends when you lost the game. I mean, the reality is, if you're going to lose a game or a couple of games, lose them early in the year. Don't lose them late in the year. Win a conference championship, and you increase your odds. The case for Ohio State, they're the Big Ten champions. They've won one of the most important conferences in the entire country. Two losses, and they got blown out by Oklahoma. They got blown out by Iowa. If I was voting, I'd vote for Alabama. I would. If I was a betting man, and I put up Alabama against Georgia, Oklahoma, or Clemson in a one-game shot on January 8th or whenever it is, I'd put my money on Alabama.
Based on the numbers I see. Number one going to Clemson, number two to Oklahoma, number three to Alabama, and number four to Georgia. And Ohio State would be fifth.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that Ohio State was ranked eighth going into the game, I cannot see them jumping to fourth or third.
Yeah.
So that's where I see it.
I agree with you, except on one. I got it almost the same, a little bit different. I got Clemson, and it does make a difference whether you're third or fourth, because then rank them, because then one place four.
Yeah.
So right. It does make a difference.
Right.
Clemson 1, Oklahoma 2, Georgia 3, Alabama 4. That's what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing a repeat of last year's incredible national championship game in the first semifinal, Clemson and Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia. We'll talk about it. I'm seeing this one as Alabama and Oklahoma in the final, but we'll chat about that as we go
what
along.
What a game that would be!
Anyways, it's quick, 1 or 2 minutes on the Leafs. Leafs out
played
swing
their best
out west.
Game. Played their best game on the road trip and lost last night 2-1. They were better last night than they were on Thursday, and they were better than they were on Tuesday.
But overall,
how do you figure?
Yeah, but how do I figure? Hot goalie. That's what it comes down to.
They couldn't beat them last night.
They played well, but
overall,
historically, you go out west and you win 2 out of 3. In most years, you would consider that a success. So, it would have been nice to sweep. They didn't. But 2 out of 3 out west is never a bad thing.
But as a Leaf fan, you're always disappointed when they lose now.
Well,
in the old days, it was automatic they would lose, right?
You can't go 82-0.
You feel bad when they lose a game.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Expectations have changed.
Oh, they sure have.
Expectations have changed. We're bumping up against, you look through the NHL, and Tampa's. Up until last night's game, they were only 1 point ahead of the Leafs. Mm-hmm. And, there's all kinds of teams, a couple of teams at the bottom, Arizona, Buffalo,
buried Montreal too early.
Yeah, you buried them too early because they're back in the thick of the playoff. And that's the NHL nowadays.
Wow.
It's I wouldn't call it media.
Ottawa goes on a 7-game losing streak. Montreal comes back and wins 6 in a row. You just don't know.
That's you know what? You get on a hot streak, you get a hot goalie, and you know, and that's the NHL nowadays. So certainly, I think it was a successful tour out west for the Leafs, and motivated to rest of December. Hopefully, we can get on another winning streak. Anyways, we're going to talk some TFC. Right after this break, we'll be right back with Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Carmine Marcantonio.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville unveiled the new Pizzaville app. Order your Pizzaville favourites right on your cell phone. Unlike other apps, with the Pizzaville app, you can also pay for your order. It's fast and secure. Unlike my half-brother Raul, who's slow and, since the accident with his elevator shoes, very insecure. Download your free Pizzaville app today from the Apple App Store or Google Play.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carley understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carley, the intelligent choice.
Steel's Paint in Woodbridge, an enormous 20,000 square foot superstore that carries nothing but the best. Superior staff, superior advice, superior selection, superior everything. When you have a really tough job to do, they can knock it down to size. They'll show you how to get it done right, and because they only sell the best of everything, you'll get it done to last. That means superior satisfaction. Steel's Paint, 4190 Steel's Avenue West in Woodbridge, the best.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740. And if you're listening in downtown Toronto, we're also on 96.7 FM, live streaming on the internet. www.zoomerradio.ca. You go there, type it in on your iPad. You can see Naz with his Alabama hat on. Anyways, we're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Carmine Marcantonio. Carmine, welcome back. How are you this morning?
Hey, Walter, good morning.
Do we have you? You still there? Oh, we got a bad connection. Carmine, are you with us? Sebastian.
Walter.
Yeah, I know we got a bad connection, Sebastian. You may have to
Walter.
Yeah, is that better? Can you hear us? Sebastian, this isn't working. You may want to hang it up and try it again. Give it another shot. Anyways, I'm sure we'll get Carmine back. He's probably just got to find us good place to get a good, strong cell phone.
I have my Bills hat, too, for today, Wally. You were saying about Alabama. The Buffalo Bills,
yeah, maybe you can switch the hat at the break.
They're going to give New England a hell of a go today. They're not going to – they probably won't win, but they're going to give them a good go.
Well, you know, I was reading about the Bills this week. What are they, 6-5? The shenanigans, I don't know what the coach was thinking with Tyrod Taylor benching him and putting the other guy in, and he, 5 interceptions in the half. And but you know, the Bills have the longest streak in the NFL for not being in the playoffs. But they're close. So if they they're in contention for a wild card. So the next couple of weeks will be very important. Unfortunately, they got to play the Patriots twice.
Yeah, so they play Miami twice, which is good, and they play Indianapolis. So.
Anyways, I'm seeing a flashing on my screen. Sebastian, Carmine Marcantonio, are you with us?
Yeah, Walter, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I lost the signal.
My friend, this is what happens when you do live radio.
We end up having to talk about the Buffalo Bills, Carmen.
That's okay. It was a nice diversion. Both Naz and I are huge Buffalo Bills fans. But
let's talk. We got you.
We're back on track. We got a signal. We've got you connected, and we've got TFC, and we're getting excited, Carmen. Saturday. The game, I believe, is Saturday down at BMO Field. It's at 4:00 in the afternoon. It would be nice if we had a day like yesterday and today, and hopefully it doesn't get too cold. But let's talk Turkey here, Carmina. TFC last year going into the final game, the soccer bowl. They sort of were on a huge roll. They were very impressive. They were huge favorites last year. And probably should have won the game, but sports is sports. Seattle did what they had to do. Didn't get a shot on net the whole game, but they managed to win it in penalties. This year, the teams are going into the game a little bit differently. TFC struggled a little bit more in the playoff game. Seattle seems to be coming in on a high. They blew out Houston. They blew out Vancouver. How are you assessing this year's game?
Yeah, you're right. You hit it right on the nail there, because I think Seattle is playing a lot better football than TFC is at the moment. And they're a better team, I think, than they were last year. I think last year on better condition, because I was at the game, it was cold. And that's something that the league should revisit, because playing in Toronto, some northern city, northern of the hemisphere, it will be very difficult in December. And hopefully, like you say, the weather is going to hold. If it was today or yesterday, it would be amazing football. But in conditions as it were last year, it was very difficult for TFC, the attacking team. I think the defensive team on condition with snow and cold last year, there are a lot, it's easier to defend than to attack. So I think this year it could be a harder test for TFC, because they're up against a team that is in good form. But they're playing at home. If the conditions are decent, I think they'll come up on top. I think I'm looking forward for Jovinko to wake up, because he hasn't been himself, even though with any play, he could always resolve the game. And Altidore, Vasquez, those are the key players, I think, for TFC to come on top this time around.
Carmen, Seattle didn't have Clint Dempsey with them last year because he was hurt. He's back in the lineup. How much does he mean to Seattle?
Yeah, Cliff Dempsey's got a lot of experience. He's still physically, he's a good player, technically and physically. So I think that's another bonus. That's why I think Seattle is a better team than they were last year, because of Cliff Dempsey being on in form. And last year, I think he was sick, but this year he's had a decent season. But the key is, I think it's going to be winning at a midfield. If Bradley's been a monster the whole season, I think he's a leader of TFC. And he's playing on top of his game. I think he probably would have admit Michael Bradley is playing the best football of his career, at least for TFC. Not so much, I don't think, not so much for, unfortunately, for the U.S. He wasn't as influenced with the U.S. National team as he is with TFC. So at the middle of the park, I think with Vasquez and Bradley, Toronto should come on top, because those two, they're clicking together with Osorio, and that he's having also a good season. If not Osorio, Marc Delgado is a good player, I think, in my mind, is a midfield. Hopefully Toronto FC is gonna come on top, and Altidore and Jovinko, they click very well together. And I think they're going to have the game of their season, and hopefully they'll be on top.
We're talking to Carmen and Marc Antonio, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer. Carmen, I got my trusty iPhone here this this morning, and I just checked the weather report for next Saturday, and it's going to be 0 degrees during the day with the possibility of a few flurries and going down to -7 at night. But the difference this year is there's, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the game is starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Last year, they started at 8 o'clock at night, and it was the wind chill was into the -10 last year. So the conditions... You know, if the flurries don't get excessive, the conditions will be a little bit warmer. But what's it like? I mean, you played soccer at the highest levels, and what's the difference in a soccer game playing when it's sunny and 25 degrees out Celsius, or playing in the dark in the snow at 0 degrees? Tell us how does that change a soccer game from a player's perspective, or even from a coach's perspective?
Yeah, I think, Walter, the problem last year, I think, for a soccer player was kicking the ball, because it was frozen. The balls were frozen outside, and it's almost like kicking an ice ball. And it's not easy. And last year, I remember, because of the Grey Cup that was played a week before in Toronto, it was all... the pitch was all sand, and that's why Jovinko had to come out, because he was cramping up, and you know, it was an easy condition weather-wise, but also the pitch wasn't in good condition. This year is going to be, if it's going to be, because it's 4 o'clock during the day, if, like you're saying, it's going to be zero, maybe hopefully it's going to be above zero where the ball doesn't freeze, so it's going to be a lot easier to kick the ball around. And And we know that those are two teams this year, especially Seattle is very technical too. They got very Ladeira midfield, he's Uruguayan. He's playing at the top of his game. So I think it's going to be between, you know, the midfield is going to win this game, because they both have very stingy defenses. You know, Toronto FC and Seattle, they're both very well, you know, playing good defensive football. And I believe that where the edge is going to be is going to be a midfield and a forward with Jovinko and Altidore, you know, clicking. Vasquez, we know what he could do. I mean, he distributes. He comes from Barcelona, from the Messi years, where, you know, Messi and Xavi and all the top players. So he's got technically and his football brain is amazing, Vasquez. So those guys will make the difference. Hopefully, MLSC and Terry Tannenbaum, representing the ownership, are going to lift a second trophy, I hope, in a matter of, 2 weeks?
We're hoping it's four.
Yeah, so that would be amazing for the city. I think it would be an amazing game. And I'm very confident that TFC is going to pull it through. And I want to actually compliment my good friend Bill Manning, the president, for doing an amazing job, the management and the ownership of the TFC, because, you know, we as soccer fans getting excited in the last 2 years, and having a team in the final, you know, back-to-back, it's amazing for soccer, football in our country and in our city. So it's an amazing time, and hopefully we're going to get the same thing with the Leafs and then why not? And the Raptors, there's we can have four championships. Why not? We could dream. And it's not going to be in the same calendar year, but it could be in the same season. So it could happen.
We're hoping.
You got a lot of excited old guys here. I wouldn't say we're running out of time, but we'll take any championship we can get at this stage.
I'm curious. I was watching the game the other night, and I really don't like this tactic, but I understand why it's done. But playing back to the goalkeeper was so prominent in that game by Toronto. It was getting unnerving, because I don't like it going back to the goalie. So too many bad things can happen. What do you think of that tactic?
Well, look, the thing is you know, it's possession, and sometimes because nowadays soccer, football is so the teams are so well prepared, and there's a bunch of, you know, you got 10 players all within 20 yards of the ball. that there's very little time in space for the players to control and make their play. And sometimes the only solution to keep possession is back to the goalkeeper. It's much better than it used to be in the old days, where the goalkeeper were able to pick it up with their hands. Now they become, when it's passed back, they become like any other player. They got to play with their feet. So a lot of the managers, like Guardiola with Manchester City, they want their goalkeeper to be as good technically with their feet as they are with their hands, and because they're very an integral part of playing and keeping possession. Yeah. So it's a bit of a tactic. The only thing, if I were FIFA and if I were the MLS, the only thing is because nowadays, you know, like you take the last game and you take even, I was watching Italy against Sweden, you know, teams tend to be more defensive and get behind the ball. When you get a wall, like 10 players behind the ball, it's very difficult for attacking teams to penetrate. I would look at, like, hockey, putting, like, at my days, when I used to play in the NASL, we used to have the almost like the blue line. We used to have a 30-yard blue line where the offside starts at the instead of starting at midfield, the offside line would be at 30 yards. And that would stretch the midfield and opens up, you know, the area where, you know, the attacking player would be able to be at 30 yards. So I would look at that as a solution to open up the game, because nowadays, you know, teams are so well prepared tactically that for attacking teams it's very difficult to penetrate. And I was watching...
Kind minute. Yeah. I'm going to have to interrupt. I apologize. We're going to get you on the show again. I really want to follow up on that last point about opening up the game. I've been a big critic of the offside, the way the offside rule is structured in soccer. But that's a bit debate for another day. We've got to move on. We've got Sean Clement in studio. We've got to talk some golf. And I know I want you to listen in, Carmine, because I know you're a big golfer too. Sean's got some important stuff he wants to talk about this morning. So when you get off the line, you may want to listen in, because I know, for sure.
Good to see Tiger back in the game.
It is.
Very exciting in golf too.
Anyways, Carmine, we're going to let you go in 5 seconds or less, prediction for the game this Saturday.
Well, I said TFC this time. Hopefully we'll have some goals. So I will say 2-1 TFC.
Thanks so much. Kadmin and Marc Antonio, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, and TFC is a big game. People are getting excited, and I'm also getting excited about talking golf and talking Tiger and talking all things golf with Sean Clement. We'll be right back with Sean after our break.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced that you can get a three-topping party pizza with 24 slices for just $24. It's perfect for large groups on a budget, like staff meetings, sports teams, or special ops units.
Go, 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 go! Everybody down!
So before you break down any doors, get a three-topping party pizza with 24 square slices for just $24. Call Pizzaville on your cell phone at #3636.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive, will likely save you money too, but the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics. On time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
At 20,000 square feet, Steeles Paint in Woodbridge is Canada's largest independent paint store. Big deal, right? Big deal, yes. The best brands, the best staff, the best advice, the best of everything. From color matching to brand selection, whether you're a pro or a DIYer, we'll look after you from the minute you walk in to the minute you walk in a second time as a completely satisfied customer. Big store, big deal, bigger satisfaction. Simple. Steeles Paint, 4190 Steeles Avenue West in Woodbridge.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the number 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. It's time to start talking some golf, and we have joining us in studio this morning, Sean Clement.
Gentlemen.
Sean, we've missed you.
missed you too,
although
man.
We chat from time to time.
Yes.
Did a little bit of work on my game this year that paid some dividends near
You're
the end of the year.
Well, man.
We were working on that lag and working on never hit the ball out of the sand better than I did late in the year. So I thank you for those tips.
Pleasure.
And just so our listeners know, Sean Clement can be found at wisdomingolf.com. It's one of the great, great internet golf sites in the world. And, I mean that sincerely.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm familiar with almost every golf site that ever existed, familiar with every golf instructional book that ever existed, spent way too much time over the years trying to perfect my swing. Of course, nobody ever perfects their swing, but trying to make it better. And then I found you.
Yeah.
So I've been a big fan of your theories for a lot of different reasons. So to our listeners, if you're passionate about the game of golf or you want to become better at the game of golf, it's Sean Clement. It's at wisdomandgolf.com. It's at YouTube under Clemshaw.
Yeah, just put in
Sean Clement. It's Sean, S-H-A-W-N.
That's it.
He's got the finest video material on the internet. It's great stuff.
Man.
It's produced in high definition. Sean does it as good as anybody. And if you want to see Sean live and you need some work on your swing, he's at the Richmond Hill Golf Learning Center at Bathurst and Highway 7 Richmond Hill.
That's it.
What have you been up to, Sean?
Man, we're in the heart of our winter supervised practice sessions. I just enjoying my coaching tremendously these days. I have students that have been with me for 12 years now, since I've been in Toronto. And it's just so awesome to see the evolution. And, I find myself looking at my little group of four. You know, we do groups of four every hour. And we see over 80 people a week in that little facility. And it's nice to be able to just watch a student evolve. And that's why we call it supervised practice sessions, because you see them make a mistake and you go, okay, hang on. I know they just figured it out, and then they hit a wonderful shot afterwards. It's just wonderful to see them acquire a skill on their own. And that's the beauty of the game.
Golf's in the news this week for obvious reasons.
You know, they say Tiger moves the needle. He's moving the needle in social media.
41
like,
million
no tomorrow.
Hits on Google.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy.
It's, I mean, let's talk about Tiger. He is it when it comes to golf. I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
He drives the needle, as you say. People are talking golf at a time of year where you're usually watching skins games and charity exhibitions, and all of a sudden, I'm in my living room in my family room yesterday afternoon, grab my remote.
I know.
What's Tiger up to?
The majors are
never.
The FedEx Cup's
over. And I don't even know. And this is a perplexing time of year for golf because the tour changed its annual schedule.
Yeah.
This used to be, they used to call it the silly season in the golf season. So that's what December used to be.
Yeah.
Basically, November, December used to be the silly season. And now, I don't know if we're at the start of the season or if we're at the end of the season, but we're in the PGA calendar now because they changed it. Mm-hmm. So this tournament counts and it means something. And it's at, they call it the Hero Challenge. It's an invitational or whatever it is. And Tiger's in it. And, of course, you know, he hasn't played that much in the last two or three years.
Yeah.
But he just drives the business of golf.
I think he's swinging quite
well.
So
let's talk about that because he had two great days and a so-so day yesterday. So, Sean, tell me the challenges that Tiger faces.
Mm-hmm.
to get his game to a point where perhaps he can win a Masters or a major or be a consistent top 10 performer on the PGA Tour, considering the challenges that he's faced in the last couple of years?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody talks about how good he feels now. He's finally living pain-free, which is, you know, massive. I mean, that is an accomplishment in itself. And you just look at the way he's swinging. I think he's swinging very well. He's compressing the ball well. He's driving the ball well, and that's very exciting. And the guy can score. It's just a matter of nip and tucking, you know, the extremities where in his short game and in his focus. And I think it's just a matter of time before he gets his focus back. One of the swings I saw yesterday in an analysis, and they said he got a little ahead of the ball and he blocked it a little to the right. And you could see that he lost his focus on that shot. He blacked out. And when that happens, you're no longer focused on your target and delivering to your target. You're now focused on saving the furniture. And that's where you see those imperfections in the swing. So at Wisdom and Golf, what we do is we're huge on focus. If you don't have a flight plan for your shot and your setup doesn't match that flight plan, you're already behind the eight ball. And then it's a matter of staying on the task. Stay with that shot, like Top Gun, stay with that wingman. And that's where the focus comes in. He's got to have that laser focus, and he doesn't have it yet.
Sean, the popularity of Tiger is incredible. They started at 100-1 for the Masters at the beginning of the week.
The odds makers.
The odds makers. And the odds makers are now 15-1 on Tiger.
It's crazy, isn't it?
But,
that's a little premature. That's just a little premature.
But just how many people are watching? And there were 41 million Google hits on him Thursday.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Human beings are capable of incredible redemption.
Yeah.
Right? And we all love a redemption story. And, you know, if somebody, you know, he's obviously made mistakes in his personal life. I mean, let's be fair. But human beings are capable of incredible forgiveness.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if Tiger comes back with a certain degree of, I don't know if he's ever going to be a humble man, but a contrite man.
Yeah.
Or
everybody
know,
loves an plays, underdog, and now he's the underdog.
He's the underdog. If he plays with the fans a little bit, if he becomes a little bit friendlier, and it seems that he has.
Yeah. Yeah, the media is, he's been a lot more open.
You know,
to the media.
He seems to have changed,
yeah.
And people love that story. And when and if he ever wins a PGA tournament again, especially a Masters or a U.S. Open, if he's in the hunt, at the top of the leaderboard on the fourth day, on the last day of a Masters or the U.S. Open.
Man, it'll be like Jack in 86.
The ratings are going to go absolutely through the roof, and the crowd's going to go insane.
Yeah.
And there's nobody else in golf today that can do that. It's Tiger, and then there's everybody else. But going back to his game, Sean, he hasn't played a lot of golf in the last 3-4 years. He's had physical challenges, multiple surgeries, back and knees. And he's in his 40s at an age where there haven't been a lot of major champions in their 40s for what reasons I don't understand. Mm-hmm. But historically there's been a big drop off in the ability of a golfer after the age of 40 to win a major.
There are some exceptions, Vijay.
Some exceptions, but not that many. Obviously, right. Jack Nicklaus at the age of 46.
Yep.
But those sort of tend to be like they're hit and misses. There's
exactly.
Not that many. So Tiger's got
like a fumble.
He's got the physical challenges. Although you have a dialogue with Brandel Chamblee, and I'm sure you saw some of his comments this week. He thinks Tiger's swing is back. I mean, he was really impressed with Tiger, and I know that you and Brandel sort of see the golf swing from the same perspective and the same vision.
Similar,
Similar. I want to. So you've got the physical challenges, you've got the age factor, let's talk about the mental factor.
Yeah.
Okay. And that tends to show up more in the short game than anywhere else. You know, Tiger can recover his swing and whatever. But when Tiger was obliterating opponents, he was doing it in a lot of different ways. But if he had a 4 to 7 foot putt with a money putt, 4 to 9 feet, he never missed it.
No.
Never.
No.
I remember that U.S. Open. I think it was 2008. He was up against Rocco Mediate. And he every time he was on 17 or 18, he had to sink a 10 to 15 foot putt to stay in the mix.
Yeah.
And he always made it. And his opponents would look at him, and they, you know, he'd make them. And that time he was playing against Chris DeMarco in the Masters, when he sunk that one that they play on TV all the time, where it rolled down the hill, and at the end it had the little yeah. Nike logo, and it rolled in. Only Tiger did that stuff.
Yeah.
And it mentally obliterated his opponents in a lot of different ways.
Because you knew he wasn't going to miss. And if you know the opponent's not going to miss, then it's all on you.
I found the biggest change in Tiger's game was his short game, his putter. He suddenly started getting the yips with his chipping. That's up here. That's mental.
It's also pain related.
Okay.
Yeah. It's.
How do you get that back? Can he get that back to anywhere near to what he used to be?
I think he can, you know, because of the fact that he's pain free. Like he lived on a daily basis with this, right? And even on the smallest of motions, if you're in pain, it's going to affect you, especially in the smallest of motions. And you remember at one point he says my glutes weren't firing.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, look at where his surgery was, where his fusion was right at the base of his spine, right above S1, right above the sacrum. And obviously, he had a lot of issues with, you know, pain shooting down his legs and issues with the glutes. So it's, you know, now in retrospect, you realize, yeah, man, that there's a reason why he was saying those things. At the time, they sounded a little funky, but now you look back and you think, yeah, I think he was in a world of hurt. Now that he's pain free, I think he'd get his short game back. I especially want to see him get his focus back, because without that focus,
what do you think of his long game, the drive? And
man, he's sitting out there. He's got 180 mile per hour ball speed, for crying out loud. That's crazy. I mean, that's DJ territory. I mean, and you know, to hear Brad Faxon say, well, he was hitting it up with DJ half the time. He obviously has the power to, you know, in the upper echelon of the tour, so he has all the experience. I think it bodes well for him.
Because they were talking prior to this tournament that he was going to pick and choose the tournaments he goes in because of the distance. But now, if he can play the long ball, he's in good shape, right?
Yeah, I think he's in great shape.
A few minutes left, Sean. I want to talk about what our listeners can do to improve their game.
Sure.
Over the wintertime.
Absolutely.
Golf season, although the golf season in southern Ontario isn't finished yet,
because
the courses
were still open.
Some of the courses were still open yesterday.
Yeah.
So
our course is still open.
Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
And I'm sure they'll probably. Richmond Hill, if you want to play golf, Richmond Hill, it's probably open today.
Exactly, it is.
Let's talk about an area that you've gotten into. And I want to talk about a gentleman that you've been working with. And you've got some videos, and I'll lead it in for you, a gentleman by the name of Ian Fraser, who's a PGA professional. You can find him at Total Golf Experience. He's doing some wonderful things about fitting people.
TXG.ca, yes.
Tell us how fitting
tour golf,
especially because
here.
It's over the wintertime. Tell us about what Ian does and how that can make a difference in people's golf games.
Well, this is exciting. We've just put out some videos on YouTube with that, so check
it out.
And
where do you find those videos?
Just dial my name, Sean Clement, or Wisdom in Golf on YouTube, and put CTXG, and you'll see there's about 4 or 5 videos that we've put out. And the latest equipment, which is really exciting, on launch monitors, Foresight came out with the GC Quad. It's like 36 lenses that examine, you know, the launch angle and everything else, and they'll actually see where you're hitting it on a ball on the club face, what the lie is at impact with all your clubs, and man, it just blew me away as far as the technology.
Give us some real world examples, because I know you brought. Yep. I think the gentleman's name was Matt. I watched the video. Isn't he your cameraman?
Yeah, exactly.
And I saw that you were doing it.
Yep.
And Ian. You know, he takes all this information
yep.
and and what he does what with it? Because you can literally, by fitting you properly, you can increase your distance significantly.
To me, this is
and it's not hocus pocus.
This is the way I imagined club fitting 20 years ago. Because I knew you had to try. Everybody tells you they got the best product. But when you try a Callaway versus a Ping versus a TaylorMade, you'll notice they look different, they sound different, and they feel very different. Which one's best for you? Well, now he has that equipment, and he's got a drawer of every major manufacturer, all the latest club heads, and he's got all the latest shafts on the wall. Just an incredible facility. He's got the lie loft machine ready to go. He'll adjust the lie for you on the fly for you to. So, and it's just $100 for an iron fitting. It's just off the charts what this guy can
do. Is this just for like low handicappers or pros?
No, it's for
it can improve the game of the average golfer.
I mean, way too often everybody listens in on the hype and the marketing, and they'll go buy a club off the rack without even trying it. And it could be a monumental waste of time and money. So and then you're trying to adjust and you're thinking, what's wrong with me and all that stuff. And then you realize, hey, you could have tried it next to a Ping or something like that, and you would have had way better numbers. And what's really interesting, like I'm hitting especially in the indoor settings at this time of year, the TrackMans and we have the FlightScope. The numbers, because they're mathematical algorithms, the numbers can be a little skewed. This thing, the GC Quad, is giving us really amazing numbers.
I kind of see fitting as the most important thing. If a guy doesn't have the right clubs,
it starts off with try the ones that you like first. Then you have them fit to your specifications, and then you got
a
chance.
Here's the issue with the fitting, because I've bought golf clubs. It's like generally, unless you're a pro, unless you're an extremely low handicapper, where do most people buy their golf clubs? They go to Golf Town.
That's it.
Or they go to they do their best, let's be fair. Sure. But when you see an operation like Ian Fraser's, it's at a completely different level.
Absolutely.
And, a few years back, there was another place over by the airport. I think it was, I can't remember the name of it. And I got fit.
Modern Golf. Yeah.
And I bought some new clubs. Yeah. Some new, and, literally, I was there with four different six irons.
Yeah.
My existing one. And then and it's like by the time I was done, the same swing, I'm hitting the ball 20 yards longer with a six iron.
Yep.
And it's all about spin. It's all about launch angle. We just
did a driver fitting.
It's
with
all
Matt.
About these mathematical calculations. And it makes a difference if you are willing to, if you're passionate enough to do that. And if you want to play golf for especially if you're young, I'm at the end of my, not the end of my days, but, if you're young in your 20s and you want to start off in golf or whatever, do it now.
It's about the fun.
You'll improve your game for the next 40, 50 years. Really, really quickly, Sean, we got a minute left.
Yep.
I know Ian's been working. I want you to tell us where our listeners can find Ian and work on this on the internet.
Yeah. Tour Experience Golf, txg.ca. And
he's got a couple of locations in the GTA.
Yeah, one in Burlington and one on Scarsdale, which is Leslie and York Mills area.
And I know that he's got a price list on there. He's got a whole set of services that he provides, and he sets it all out ahead of time what it costs.
Absolutely. Give him a call. Go see the facility. Just go tell be
us,
a fly on the wall.
Tell us. I know that he he did some work with Justin Rose.
Yeah.
Tell us all about that.
He fit him with this awesome new shaft. It's called a $1,000 shaft. Video, and I couldn't believe the stability in that shaft. It was a really cool sensation. And he fits him with the shaft, and off he goes and wins two in a row, and almost makes off with the race to Dubai.
He looked good yesterday too.
Oh, he's
Rose is in there.
Yeah, he's looking really good, and he also did the fittings for DA Points, and DA Points is really smoking the ball right now with his i200s from Ping.
Great stuff, Sean. Unfortunately. You know the drill here.
Yes.
We run out of time. We could talk all day, and we will. We'll get you back. Certainly a topic we need to discuss.
Yep.
We've been talking to Sean Clement, wisdomingolf.com. Sean Clement on YouTube. Check it out. Naz, I'm going to give you the last word.
Go Bills, go against the Patriots.
Hopefully, if the Bills win, I want you in your Bills paraphernalia next week.
It was my father-in-law's birthday yesterday, and everybody's at our house today for it. We're celebrating, and we'll have the New England Buffalo game.
Anyways, Great stuff. To all our listeners, be safe. Have a fantastic week. We'll be back here again next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock.
All the best.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.